getting into our final installment of the Word of God regarding God's healing promises tonight. Are you ready to receive? Listen, I'm telling you what, this session, these next two are like the hammer to this whole day's teaching. We're going to find out how do I receive my healing by faith and how do I keep it once I've got it. So Apostle Callahan is going to lead off this evening's session. So stand to your feet, let's welcome the man of God and believe that he just speaks straight into us tonight.
The Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I was going to have you stretch, but then I remembered you've been standing for a while. Amen. Well, it's been a good day, hasn't it? If you've been able to be with us all day, I know that you've just had a good time. It's been good being in the house of the Lord and sharing together in the Word. There isn't anything like the Word of God. Nothing like the Word of God. It'll set you free. Amen. The Copelands have that theme, one word from God will change your life forever. And that's fact, isn't it? Amen? And thank God we've got those words that change our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk tonight in this session about how to walk out your healing or how to receive your healing. So let's start by going to Psalms 103 and verse number 1. Psalms chapter 103 and verse number 1. Praise the Lord. What a good God we serve. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. That's just a good psalm anytime, isn't it? All that's within us. We've got so much to praise God about. That's not a... if you forget to pray over your food before you eat, when you get done, you can pray this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Right? But it's talking about more than that, isn't it? It's talking about all the blessings of God that are in our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What happens to the ones you forget? You don't receive them, right? Any of the blessings of the Lord that you don't remember, you're not going to walk in them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth? Let's try that again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, I like that word. Amen. Look, now, there are two major ways to receive healing. We go down the line of ways to receive it. I talked about that earlier, and I don't remember how many points I had, like 10 or 11, 12 points about how to receive the healing. But there are two major ways to receive your healing. One is by the gifts of the Spirit, and the other one is walking it out by your own faith. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we go through that 12th chapter, and explanation comes to us then in chapter 14. But in chapter 12, it talks about the nine we call the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in there is the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And those gifts of the Spirit operate or work in us, in the body of Christ, to bring about the miraculous, the healing, and so on. Now, we haven't differentiated today at all between miracles and healing, and I'm not really going to do that too much now. But you know that healing is when something is broken and it's fixed. And a miracle is when it totally is contrary to the laws of nature. And for example, a disc is gone, or the meniscus is gone out of the knee, or something like that, and it's replaced. That's a miracle, a creative miracle of God. But when the gifts of healing are in operation, the gifts of healing are wonderful because it normally brings instantaneous manifestation. The healing is either immediate or just shortly after immediate. This afternoon, I talked about the man that was blind in the service, and I prayed for him, and there was no major indication that he had received his healing, but on the way home, the eyes popped open. Now, the healing happened when I prayed for him in the service, but the manifestation came about 15, 20 minutes later when his eyes popped open. With the gifts of healing, the best thing in the world is when both the prayer and the prayee are in faith. And when we're all believing God and we're expecting the manifestation and our faith is there. But I see many times, many times when people are healed and they're surprised when they're healed. But the gift is in operation. And when that gift is in operation, healings can happen when people aren't even expecting them. I was, again, this happened in Illinois a year, a couple of years ago. I prayed for a woman, and best I can remember, she just had pain all over. I don't know what it was from or anything. She had pain all over her body. I commanded the pain to go, and it left. And I said, now, I want you to try to find some pain. She looked at me like I was crazy, like, of course I'm going to be able to find some pain, but she couldn't. And when she started moving in ways that would have hurt, this look came on her face like, and then she changed the look immediately and said, but I was expecting that. I said, you were not. Try to lie to me. It was very obvious she wasn't expecting that at all. She was shocked when she received it. And I've had people that they'll come in prayer line. I pray for them. You know, I'll say to somebody something like, how long have you had this pain? Well, I've had it for 10 years. You know how much longer you're going to have it? And they don't know, they're not sure what I want as an answer to the question. And they'll kind of study me and they'll say, not long. You know, I'll tell them about 3 seconds more. And then you pray for them and they're just absolutely shocked because they're healed and the pain is gone. Now, that doesn't happen when you're walking it out by faith by yourself. But that happens when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And sometimes the word of knowledge will be in operation where God will say to the one that is ministering that he's healing this or healing that. It can happen in a number of ways. We often flow in that gift of word of knowledge where God will show that he's healing this, he's healing that or the other. And in my case, everybody's gifts operate a little different. In my case, there may be 5, 10 in a big crowd. There can be 15, 20 people all healed of the same thing at the same time when the word of knowledge comes. And then there's just when you lay hands on and the gift is in operation, there are various ways that the gifts of healing can be in operation. Now, another thing is the gift of faith comes in there. There are times when I'm praying for people and I know this person's going to receive their healing. Doesn't matter what the problem is. Doesn't matter how bad it is. It's just like you want to defy the devil to try to stay there under this situation because you know that this person will receive their healing immediately. And that's the gift of faith in operation. And then there's the working of miracles when just a creative miracle or miracle of some kind happens in the person's body, and then the gift of healing. All of those can work together and flow together through the gifts of the Spirit to bring the healing or to bring the miracle into people's lives. Now, the second way is what we're going to talk about tonight, and that's walking out your healing by faith. Well, I might just differentiate a little bit more by letting you know that Jesus operated in the gifts. The Bible says he had the Spirit without measure. So he really operated strong in the gifts wherever he went. And people were healed. Masses of people were healed. He went into villages and they brought all the sick from all around and he healed them all. And we see this again and again as he operated under the gifts of the Spirit. And he had them without limit. There was no limitation in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in his life. But then there comes that place where we have to learn how to walk out our own healing. Now, let me answer a question for you. A person will say, I do not understand this. That person was a healing evangelist who traveled the country seeing great miracles wherever they went. And then that same individual got sick and died of cancer or heart disease or whatever it was. It doesn't make sense. If they had such great healing ministry, then why weren't they healed themselves? Why did they die with that sickness? The answer is this. the gifts of the Spirit flow out to others. And when you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, it isn't going to bring healing into your body. It's going to bring healing into other people. And if you don't know how to walk out your healing by faith, you're not going to get your victory. I have never in my life received a healing by having somebody else pray for me. And it isn't because I haven't tried. I don't know how many years ago it was. It was probably 3 or 4 years ago at least. I was going through a winter where I had this nagging cough. And I just coughed until my side would hurt. And then you know, I'd get over that and I'd cough till I'd feel the pressure in my head. And then, you know, it just got aggravating. And every now and then I'd confess my healing, but I really didn't get down to business like I needed to. And I thought, I have never received a healing by anybody else praying for me. I'm calling Dr. Harfouche. So I got on the phone, I called him, and I said, "Doc, how you doing?" And we chatted for a few moments. And I said, "You know, I need you to pray for me." And I explained what was going on. Now, he is a compassionate man, and we're friends. And I know that he did care. But let me tell you how it seemed. It seemed like, "Oh, really? That's too bad. How's everything else going?" I mean, it's exactly what it seemed like. And I know that's not what it was. I'm not trying to diminish anything about his compassion, but that's just what it seemed like. And when we hung up, I thought, well, so much for that. But here's what I realized. I'm going to get this victory. I'm going to have to get this victory. I'm going to have to go after it. I'm going to have to do what faith does in order to get my victory. And so I did, and I did. But the key is, you can walk it out by faith. Now, Pastor Jack made this statement earlier. I don't know if you caught it or not, but the best way is walking out your healing by faith. We like the other way better. Amen? There's not a person in here, if you have pain or sickness in your body, that doesn't want to come up tonight, stand here, and boom, you're healed and you're on your way home and it's done. That's a wonderful way to have it happen. It's easy that way, right? I mean, that's the way but the sure way is when you walk it out by your faith and you get your healing by your faith being in operation for your miracle. Amen? So that's what we need to talk about. How does that go about? Now, there's a number of things that are mandatory in order to walk out your healing by faith. First of all, you've got to be convinced of the things we've already talked about today. You have to be convinced that healing is for you. Every time, all the time, in every situation. That it doesn't matter what it is, healing is for you. You've got to be absolutely convinced of that. You have to be convinced that it's God's will to heal you. If you're not convinced that it's God's will to heal you, it is impossible for you to have faith for it to be healed. your Bible. Pastor Jack tells me, "Pastor, I got a Bible for you, and I laid it out on the communion table. And just pick it up whenever you want." Now, I come to the communion table, and there's not a Bible there. There are two Bibles there. I can't be sure that I can take one of those Bibles because I'm not sure that it's mine. So I can't have faith enough to pick it up. I might be picking up the wrong one. Now, healing is different in the fact that there's not two of them available or whatever, but it's the same premise. If you don't know that it's yours, you can't possibly have faith for it. You can't be sure that you can receive it because you're not sure that it's yours and it belongs to you. You must be convinced, number one, God didn't give it to you, because if you think God gave it to you, then how can you have faith that He'll take it away from you? And number two, you've got to believe without question, without doubt, that it is God's will for you to be healed and that healing is for you. He said in 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers." Amen? And you must be convinced that God's able to heal you. You know, it's a funny thing how our minds go. We try to figure out how He'll do it. You can't figure out how He'll do it. I remember I was in Madison, Indiana a few years ago, and there was a lady that came up in the prayer line, and she said, "I have carpal tunnel." And I took hold of her hand and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that carpal tunnel come off her body in Jesus' name. And I took it off. And I said, now see if you can find the pain. She started doing all this. There's no pain. She couldn't find any pain anywhere. And she's just grinning and kind of laughing about it. And she went over and sat down in the second row. And they heard her in the first row. She was saying to her friend, that's spooky. It's all gone. Where'd it go? Where'd that go? It's all gone. That's spooky, she said. Because it was gone. We don't have to figure out how he's going to do it. How's God going to do it? How's God going to bring a part of your brain back to life again if you had a stroke? How's he going to bring a part of your heart back to life again if you've had a heart attack? How's God going to clear your lungs from pneumonia? How is God going to take an ulcer out of your body? How's God going to remove a cancer? You don't have to figure out how. He doesn't do it all the same way anyway. About the time you think you got it figured out, God will do it another way. Amen? April brought a friend to church here a few weeks ago, and I love the testimony of it. I wish they'd actually waited a few more days, but he came on a Sunday night, and his mother was going into surgery the next morning to have a brain tumor removed. And we commanded it to dissolve and disappear. And the next morning, they did the surgery, and they took the brain tumor out, and April said it this way. They said it evaporated in their hands. Well, if they'd waited another day or two, they wouldn't have had to have the surgery. How's God going to do it? We don't know. He's just going to do it. He may have it disappear. He may have it dissolve it. I've heard of people that have vomited up tumors. I'd just soon have it dissolved personally. I don't know about you. Amen. Some have passed it other ways. I'd still just as soon have it dissolve. Amen. Don't I be searching for it. God has ways to do it beyond what we can comprehend. Those that shared their testimony of healing tonight. Where did fibromyalgia go? What happened? Where did all that pain go? Whatever was causing it, where did it go? We don't really care. It just has to go. Amen. Some of you may not be ready for this, but I'll tell you the honest truth. From all that I've studied, from all that I've learned, behind every sickness, there's a spirit. And when that spirit is gone, shortly thereafter, the healing is manifested. And when you're talking to cancer, you are talking to a spirit that has been trained and taught for one thing, and that is to bring cancer onto a person's body. And when that cancer is commanded to leave, and that spirit of cancer is gone, the healing is almost immediate, or shortly after immediate, manifested. When I started learning this, I thought, I started out, I mentioned this afternoon, that I started understanding that I talk to every sickness like it's a living thing. And then I started to understand that the reason I had to talk to it like a living thing was because it was a spirit. Amen? And then I was studying from T.L. Osborne, and I read that he and Daisy, in all of their healing ministry, where they've had thousands of major healings and miracles, treat every sickness as a spirit. And he said immediately when that spirit is gone, the healing manifests, or shortly thereafter. I thought, well, you know, people may say, that's the craziest thing I ever saw. You know what they say over there? Do you know what he said? Hey, I'll put the amount of healings I've seen up against the amount they've seen any day. Because the person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. Selah, pause and think about that. Amen? In other words, they say, well, I don't believe that at all. Oh, well, how many people have you seen heal? Well, we don't believe in healing at our church. So Keith Moran said that somebody said to him one day, we don't preach all that healing stuff at our church. He said, oh, really? Well, how many people do you see healed at your church? Well, none. Well, we preach it and we see people healed at ours. I'd rather be there where we're seeing it healed, wouldn't you? That's why it's a matter of life or death where you go to church. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, so in other words, you've got to be convinced that healing is for you, that it's God's will to heal you, and that God is able to do it. He's able to do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Doctor can tell you this is incurable. God loves incurable. Because he doesn't know incurable. Right? God loves it when they say there's nothing we can do because there's something God can do. God has never faced impossible. He doesn't know impossible. And when we're in Christ, nothing is impossible to us when we'll believe. That's what the Word says. Now, the next thing you have to do, if you're going to walk in faith, is you've got to have Scripture. To say that I'm walking in faith without a promise from the Word of God is not faith, it's presumption. Someone says, well, I'm not going to get sick anymore. Oh, really? Well, why do you say that? I'm just not. That's why. That's presumption. You're not standing on anything. That's like saying the multimillionaire that I met yesterday is going to give me $1 million one of these days. Oh, did he say he would? No. Well, then what makes you think he will? It's presumption. It's not faith. We have to have a scripture from the Word of God, and there are so many healing scriptures. You can take your choice or use a bunch of them. Amen? And when it comes to confessing your healing or confessing divine health, the Bible is full of promises. And we can just declare, I thank you, Lord, that I walk in divine health. Sickness and disease are far from me. I thank you that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I thank you that you've forgiven all my iniquity. You heal all my diseases. I thank you that you bless my bread and my water, and you take sickness from the midst of us. And you can just go scripture after scripture, or one scripture, because there's power in the Word of God to bring healing or whatever miracle you need. One scripture is all you need. That'll do it. And you just stand on that one scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The power of God unto salvation. That means being born again. It means a lot more than being born again. It's a travesty to limit that word salvation to being born again. It's healed and delivered and set free and prospered as well as being born again. And it's the Word that has all that power in it. We take that Word of God and start putting it over our lives. This is what I stand on. Father, I'm so thankful that your Word declares, and we stand on that promise of the Word of God. And then the next step is that we pray the prayer of faith. We pray according to the Word of God, and we believe it, and we believe that we receive it when we pray. Go to Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like to go for about an hour and a half past my hour. I'm not going to, though. There's just so much in this to share. Amen? Look at Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now, I don't know that I need to go into this. Probably I don't. I won't. It's extra. It's good stuff, but it's extra. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, let me just kind of run around with this a little bit and try to really drill it into you. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, and you shall have them. So, in other words, the place that we release our faith is when we pray. And when we pray, we believe that we receive it. When we pray, we believe that we received it. And we what? Shall have it. Now look at the tense of the verbs. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you received it. When is that? Now. Right? Or it might have been yesterday that you prayed. Or it might have been this morning that you prayed. And you believe you received it then when you prayed, and you shall have it. What's the tense of that verb? It's future. The shall have may be a minute. The shall have might be an hour or a day, or it may be months. But you shall have it. And there isn't a question mark there, is there? It's a shall have. Here's the point that you've got to understand. When you pray, you believe you receive it at that point of time. Now, how can I believe I received it if nothing changed? That's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of what you hope for, and the faith is the evidence of what you can't see. You see, your answer is in the spirit realm. Your answer is in God. It's in the spirit realm. And so I have to believe that by faith, I've got it. Faith is the only evidence that I've... You say, Pastor, nobody can do that. You cannot believe for something you cannot see. Au contraire, my friend. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I needed a smaller computer to be able to travel with it. And so I ordered the computer from Dell, found what I wanted. I went online, just like searching out the Word of God to find the promise you need. I went online, I searched through the catalog at Dell until I found the computer I wanted. When I found it, I clicked on it, I paid. The medium of exchange was money. I paid by a credit card, and shortly afterward, I received news from Dell that I had a new computer. I'd never seen it. I hadn't typed on it. I'm still typing on the old one, but I have a new computer. Nobody would have said, well, you're crazy. You think you got a new computer just because you ordered it and they said it's on the way. Nobody would say that. They would only say that about spiritual things. See, I had received it before I ever saw it. I received it before I ever typed on it. I'm still typing on the old computer, but I've received a new one. And I went to the office the next day, and I figured it probably wouldn't be there already, but I went to the office because I'm in an expectancy. And I looked around, no box from Dell, but I'm a day closer. So I come in the next day, and I look around, no box from Dell. And over the weekend, I came in the first of the week, and there's the box. Now I've received, or I have what I received when I ordered it. And that's exactly how faith operates. If you've got to see it before you believe it, you got this thing all backwards. Don't lift up your hand. Don't lift up your hand, okay? But how many of you believe? Just answer it in your heart. How many of you believe that I have this Bible, a leather-bound King James Bible? How many of you believe that I have it? Now, if you answered yes, you don't understand believing. You don't have to believe I've got it. You know I got it. You can see it. You don't have to know that I've got it. But if I say to you, I have another Bible, and it's a New Living Testament, and I've got it right under here. And you can't see under here. Now you have to decide, do I take his word for it and believe what he said? Because I can't see it. If I can't see it, then I either have to believe what he said or doubt what he said. And the fact of the matter is, I didn't set it up, so I don't have one under here. But that's when you have to believe when you can't see. So what do I have to do when I pray that I receive it and I believe that I've received it now? I can't see it. There's no change that I can see. Sometimes you'll pray for your healing and feel worse the next day. Why? Because the way faith operates is there will be a battle. I had some breaking out a few years ago, and it was all on my left side. I had some spots here on my arm. One was the size of a quarter, a couple the size of a dime, had a few on my side, and they itched and they hurt. They were red and pimply, and it hurt like somebody was sticking needles in my nerves. And I looked at it, I thought, what in the world is this? And making a long story short, I said, you don't belong to me, and I don't belong to you. I curse you at your root, and I command you in Jesus' name, get off of my body and get off now in Jesus' name. And the next day, guess what? I had twice as much. That one that was the size of a quarter was the size of a half dollar. The other small ones had doubled in their size. And what I had on my side had also increased and grown more. And I said, praise God, it's working. Because the law of faith says that after you pray the prayer of faith, then comes the battle. I was in the battle, so it's working. And I just praised the Lord that it was working. And to make a long story short, within a couple of days it was gone. Then I went to a nurse in our church and I said, Pam, I'd like to know what it was that was attacking my body. I explained it to her. She said she went through the symptoms all again. She said, on one side of your body, etc. She said, Pastor, you had shingles. And people middle age don't get over shingles in a few days. But God, there's the difference there. I couldn't see a change, but I believed that I received it when I prayed, and I knew that I shall have it because I believe I received it when I prayed. There wasn't any other way it could be other than manifestation and total healing to come. Are you seeing that? This is where people lose it. They pray, and they don't see immediate change, and so they didn't receive it. Somebody comes in the prayer line, and I don't have this happen much anymore, but you pray for them. And, you know, they tell you what's wrong with them physically. You pray for them. And the last thing they say before they turn and walk away is, well, keep praying for me. Well, in other words, they're saying that one didn't take, but pray that one will take and I'll get my healing. No, no, no. You got to believe. There's got to be a point you believe you receive it. And at that point that you believe you received it, that's when you received it. Amen. What do I do after I've received it? Well, all right, let's use the Bible. And Pastor Jack has been wanting a Bible just like this. And so I brought him the Bible and I bring the Bible to him and I say, Pastor Jack, here's that Bible that you want. Now, what has he just done? He's received it, right? Now, once he's received it, it would be foolish for him to keep asking me for it. Well, let's say that he's giving me the Bible. And he says, Pastor, it's back there in the bookshelf, in the bookstore, and you'll notice it's got your name on it. It's back there. I haven't seen it, but I say, thank you, Pastor Jack. That is, I really have been wanting that Bible. I just received it. Haven't seen it, but I've received it. Now, if I come back to him in a couple of minutes and I say, Pastor Jack, I'd sure like a Bible, and describe the Bible that he got me, that would be utterly foolish. It would prove that I didn't believe that I had received it or that he gave it to me. Faith believes you received it. And once you believe you received it, you don't keep asking for it. Now you just keep walking the word to keep your faith up. Now you keep saying what God says. And you say continually, Lord, I just praise you. I praise you for my healing. I praise you that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. It is so good to be pain-free in my body. You say, but you still have pain. But it's good to be pain-free, isn't it? Amen. And you believed you received pain-free, and you just keep believing and you keep confessing it. Lord, I believe I've received pain-free in my body. I believe I've received pain-free in my body, and I thank you for it, Lord. And you don't back down and you don't waver, because when you start wavering, what's a waver? A waver is when you say, well, praise God, I've received my healing. I sure don't understand why it isn't here yet. Praise God, God has healed me. But I feel worse than I did before I prayed. That's wavering. And let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. The key to walking it out is you've got to believe you received it when you prayed, and you shall have it. Are you with me on this? Now, understand that everything we need is already done. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 1 and verse number 2, he said, God hath blessed us, past tense, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, well, maybe that's why there's a difference in the time between when I believe I received it and when I shall have it. Because it's in heavenly places. And it's in the spirit realm. You know, I like westerns. And can't help it, I just do. I like an old cowboy show. And Debbie's learning to love them. To love them. Amen. Call those things that be not as though they were. But you know, one of the important things for a cowboy was that lasso. And he had to learn how to use that. Well, we have a lasso that we have to learn how to use. Its faith. And you get a hold of it. When you believe you received it, you put the lasso on that thing that you believe you received, and you don't let go until you bring it into manifestation. And you bring it into manifestation by your faith. Now, go to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Hallelujah. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've only read that verse in here. I'm not going to teach on that verse to bring out the fact that this is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the grace of God, very simply put, is God's gifts to us. We have various definitions we like. I like the one, God's ability in us to do what we can't do on our own is God's grace. But basically, boiling it down to it, to that word charis, it's talking about the gifts of God. And the gifts of God are many. I mean, you just start making a list of the gifts of God, and you have salvation and righteousness and justification and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and answer. I mean, you just, everything that God gives to us are those gifts that God gives, the grace of God. Now, this says that we have access by faith into the grace, the gifts of God, wherein we stand. Some of you have heard me share this illustration before, but it works. So if you've heard it before, allow me to share it again. Debbie's youngest daughter is a missionary in Guadalajara, Mexico. And Guadalajara, Mexico is the shoe capital of the world, they say. There is a mall in Guadalajara, a shoe mall, that has 78 shoe stores. Nothing in the mall but shoe stores. And all the women said, woo! 78 shoe stores. And they have kiosks in the middle of the aisles, shoes. You walk into that mall and it's a woman's paradise. Man's nightmare, but a woman's paradise. And so we go into that mall, and we start walking down the mall, and we're looking in all the windows, shoes here, shoes to the right of me, shoes to the left of me, shoes in the middle of me, everywhere there's shoes, shoes everywhere. Now, we don't have any, but we're standing in the midst of the mall. And pretty soon, we get to this one, and she says, oh, I like this brand. What's that brand you like? There's a bunch of them, but she can't remember that one. Amen. And so she says, oh, I like that pair in the window. So we go in and she says, I want to try on that pair. I was preaching this in Frankfurt, giving this illustration once. And I said, she said, bring it to me an eight. And then she tried it on and she said, no, bring me an 8.5. And the moment I was done preaching and went back, she said, I don't wear 8 or 8.5. What is it? 6? 6. I wear a 6. I was going to take her boating. So we go in and she says, I want to try that on in a 6. And so they bring it out and they bring it out in black and they put it on her. And she said, oh, I like that. And then they got to go, you know, and look in the mirror and they got to look at it this way and then that way. And then she says, Do you have it in a brown? And so they bring it out in a brown. Oh, I want to try that one. And pretty soon there's stacks of shoes everywhere around us. And we don't have any shoes yet. And she says, thank you. By now, the grandkids are going, when we go home now. And no, we're going to the next store. And so we go to the next store and we go through the same thing. Pretty soon, shoes all around. She's been trying them all on. It's a wonderful experience for her, and for Wendy. And then, you know, we go through store after store after store. And then go back to the first store and get that first pair she tried on in black. But here's the thing about it. When we walked into that mall, there were shoes everywhere. We were in the midst of all the shoes. But there is a medium of exchange. When we found the shoes she wanted, we had to go up to the counter, bring out the pesos, pay the medium of exchange, and now we've accessed the shoes, some of those shoes wherein we stood. And we accessed them by pesos. When you were born again, you were set down right in the middle of all of God's gifts and all of His promises and all of His blessings. But there's not one promise, one grace, one blessing of God that you can access in any other way but by faith. It's faith that accesses that blessing of God. You know, you don't get anything from God without faith. It's just not going to work. You can wish, you can hope, you can try, but you're not going to get anything from God without faith. Amen? Well, you know, I just believe that if God wants me healed, He'll heal me. That isn't how it works. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. I'm telling you, God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's start out at verse 2. It's talking about the children of Israel, and it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I don't care how great the promise of God is, if you don't put faith in it, you're not going to receive it. There is no limit to what God can do in your life, except the limit that you put on it by faith or the lack thereof. God's able to do more in your life than you ever dreamed. He said that, didn't He? He said He's able to do more than you're able to ask or to think. Why did He put that verse in there? So you'd know how much He can do? Yes, but even more than that, so you'd start to ask and think bigger. So that we'd start to expand and stretch ourselves and begin to believe God for bigger and better things. God isn't limited in any way. And in verse number 3, He says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." Amen. Now, the important thing then to understand is, I believe I've received it. I don't have any question about it. I have it. It's mine. I believe that I've received it. And now comes the walk. It's the walk between amen and there it is. And that's the place where people fail. It isn't hard for somebody to say amen and believe they've received it. That isn't hard. What's hard is when they still haven't seen it. And they still haven't seen it. And they still haven't seen it. And they're watching television and they tell you that people die of what you got. And then you have a friend. And the friend says to you, oh my, is that what you've got? Well, you know, my aunt died of that. And a friend of hers had the very same thing. And when she found out she had it, she died within a month. Well, that's helping your faith. What do you have to do with that? You cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You get back into the Word more than you were in the Word before. And listen to me, beloved. When the devil starts to attack your mind, you attack him with the Word of God. And here's a key. Here's a major key. People read the Bible in all kinds of ways. There are some people that can't read one verse without finding condemnation in it. They'll read and they'll say, well, let's this verse say, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That's me. I'm always coming short of every verse of the Bible. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed. That's it. I don't have enough faith. That's why what you need to do is find somebody who has revelation and listen and listen and listen and listen until your healing is manifested. Amen. He sent his word and healed them. And it's that word that's going to bring healing to you. Now, here's the thing. I'm not telling you to just listen to anybody. There are people that if you listen to their sermons, it'll make you sicker. Because they'll explain to you why you're sick. And their explanations aren't biblical. But there are those that have revelation of the healing power of God. And if you'll listen to the word being preached by them, faith comes by hearing and hearing by revelation of the word of God. Not the Logos, the revelation of that word of God. And this is the Logos, the written word. Rhema is the revelation of this written word. And when someone has the revelation of it, and you listen to them preach it and preach it and preach it. We had our faith rally over in Frankfurt here a couple of weeks ago. And dear Lord, that was powerful. We did basically what we're doing here today. Pastor Philip and I each preached an hour. And we did it on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. But we started out with Dr. Carfouche on Monday and Tuesday night preaching faith. And then all day long, in between those night services, I've got word going in my ears. I'm out mowing, listening to faith. I'm working, listening to faith. I've got faith working. And then Sunday morning, I'm getting up and preaching faith. And I'm preaching faith and talking faith and hearing faith. I was ready to bite nails in half. I mean, you just get inside. So you, if the devil wants a fight, he's looking for one. I'm your man. Come here and make my day. My name's not Callahan for nothing. Not Dirty Harry, but amen. Come on and make my day, devil. We cannot be defeated. And we will not quit. Amen. So we work that word. We work the word. We work the word. We walk the word. We say the word. We don't lay that word down until total manifestation comes. And we act the whole time like we've got it. All right, let me explain that. Oh, here. No. Let me take this a step at a time. All right. Pastor Jack gave a couple illustrations today. The illustration of the pain in his back and how he'd work the word, listen to the word, work the word, and every once in a while get up and jump up and down, which nobody in their right mind would do that with that kind of pain in your back. But we're not walking in our right mind. We're walking in the word. And there's a difference between the word and what man normally would do. What was he doing? He was acting like a healed man. Would a healed man be hesitant to jump up and down? No. So what did he do? He acted like a healed man. Faith is an act. If you act sick, you'll stay sick. Well, here's some things you can't afford. You can't afford sympathy. Now, if you're sick and you want sympathy, let us know. And we'll help you die. But you can have people weeping with you all the way to the cemetery. Or you can have people that are encouraging you and talking faith to you and not sympathizing. You say, well, that's the most unsympathetic group I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, but we're the most healed group you've ever seen too. We're not going to sit around and cry over what's going on in your body because we know how it's going to turn out if you walk in faith. And that's what we're rejoicing in. And it's what you need to rejoice in. Yes, you may be going through some real battles. Yes, you may be going through some real problems. But don't focus on the problems. Focus on the word. The woman with the issue of blood. The woman that was bowed over, we talked about it today. What did Jesus say to her? Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Jesus never talked on this side of the miracle. Jesus always talked on the other side of the miracle. And that's where you have to talk. Jesus didn't say, well, you're sure sick right now, lady. And I've never seen anybody bowed over this bad. How do I look in your eyes here to talk to you, lady? He didn't do that, did he? He didn't talk this side of the miracle. He said, thou art loosed. when she was still bowed over, he said, thou art loosed. And that's the way you talk. You talk healed. You talk totally and completely victorious. And you won't change that word. You won't change that confession. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's another thing you don't do. You don't go on the internet and find out everything you can find out about your symptoms. Oh, do you know what else it said about it? I don't care what else it said about it. That's not for us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're marching to the beat of another drum. We have a word of God and a promise of God, and we're living by the laws of the kingdom of God. And we want to know what God says about it, not what Dr. Doolittle says. Get out your medical books and look it up. Oh, dear Lord, I'm worse off than I thought. You already thought you were worse off. And then you meditate on those things, and they'll put you in the grave. Well, I want to know what's wrong with me. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that's wrong with you, you don't even realize. You haven't come to understanding. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, what they don't know. Amen? You don't get into that. You don't call your friend. Call Mom and them. Right? We're from Kentucky. You call Mom and them. Is Dad home? Who cares? It's Mom and them we're calling. Right? We're from Kentucky. Dad's part of them. So we call Mom and them. Mom says, how you doing today? Oh, Mom, I'm doing a little better, but I still am worse. And it seems like every day I've been getting a little bit worse. But you know, I believe I'm healed. You got a fountain putting out bitter water and sweet water out of the same fountain, and it won't work. It's all bitter water. You can't confess that you are healed and confess your problems at the same time. I'm telling you, what comes out of your mouth is more powerful than you've ever given credit to. That's why you have to guard what comes out of your mouth all the time. Your words are powerful. You need to talk about walking in divine health. You need to talk about healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You need to talk about your youth as being renewed like the eagles. You need, and stop talking all the other kind of garbage. And when you're walking out that healing, you just keep saying, Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm healed. I am so thankful, Lord. I'm thankful that infection can't live in my body. I'm so thankful, Lord, that rash can't live in my body. I'm so thankful, Lord, that growths can't live in my body. I'm so thankful Jesus took all my infirmities and he bore all my sicknesses. And you work the word, you work the word, you praise God for the manifestation and for your healing. And what happens? You receive what you believe. Now, there's one other thing that I've been touching on it, but I want to deal with it in just a little bit different way, and that is you've got to remember that faith is an act. Faith is an act. What does it tell us in James? It tells us in James that chapter 1, go ahead and go to chapter 1 and verse 22, James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Go across the page to chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, if it doesn't have corresponding action, is dead, being alone. I say to somebody, my heart is so full of faith. Well, show it to me. Well, I can't show it to you. It's in my heart. Well, he says, yeah, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You can tell how a person acts whether or not they have faith. We were in Peru and we'd gone out to one of the churches for a crusade. And I preached the word. I finished preaching and called for a prayer line for healing. And the first one they sent up there, I looked at this guy and I could see all over him somebody that wasn't going to believe for his healing. He had had a stroke and his arm was kind of shriveled. And then he had this leg that wasn't working right. And it was all he could do to just kind of get up there. And he's the first one they brought up. And I prayed for him and I ministered to him. And I could not get anywhere with him. And I said, look, you go over there and sit down and wait. And we'll pray for you again before we're done. Because I knew if we started seeing the miracles, which we would immediately. And we did. Everybody else got their healing. And Pastor Jim was there because we pray for so many and do so much preaching. He and I would tag team. And I had prayed for the last person in the line, and I said to Pastor Jim, do you want to deal with this guy over there? You want me to? He said, no, I'll do it. So he brought the guy over, and the guy's all shriveled up, and Pastor Jim prayed for him, and then he took his arm, and he went like this. And every time he lifted, the guy'd grimace. You know, and about the 10th time, he said, I'm healed. Leave me alone. But faith is an act. We were in Florida in January. It's amazing how God calls people to Florida in January. But we heard the call, Macedonian call, and we came on over. And so I was ministering in the prayer line, and there was one of the ladies that she listens to my sermons on internet all the time and heard that I was going to be there. So she traveled, and I don't remember what diseases she had, but she had three things wrong with her. And God healed them all. Next night, she came back, as a matter of fact, and brought a friend of hers who had the same sicknesses, and God healed her. But the last thing with her was she'd had surgery on this arm, and the arm would freeze right here. She had mobility here to here and had pain in that arm all the time. So God healed the first thing. Pain was gone. God healed the second thing. She was totally healed. And I said, now, how about this arm? I command that arm to be healed in Jesus' name. Now be healed in the name of Jesus. And I just preached the whole message on faith is an act. And the woman did this. She went, I mean, I don't know what would have happened if God wouldn't have healed it. Because she did an act. I mean, an act of faith. She went boom, and you heard it pop. And it was totally healed. All the pain was gone. She had total flexibility in it. It was totally healed. Faith is an act. Faith, show me your faith. Show it to me without action. You can't. But let me see your action, and I'll tell you if I can see your faith. Amen? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Thou believest that there's one God. I like to read it this way. You believe there's only one God? Big deal. The devils also believe that and tremble. Faith is not believing God can do it. Faith is believing you received it. When you prayed, and you don't waver from it, till there it is. Amen? Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So faith is an act. Some of you are fairly new to this, probably. Some of you have been around for a while. You've been hearing Pastor Jack and others teach about faith, and faith is an act. We shouldn't have to tell you to act. If you come up and say, I have pain in my body, in my back, and I have a lot of pain back there, stiffness and pain in my back, the moment we pray for you, you should be twisting and bending and working that back. I prayed for a man. They all kind of run into a blur after a while. To say that I've seen thousands healed is not an exaggeration. We saw 1,000 a week when we've been in Peru. We're going back in October, and we'll see another 1,000 or more healed then, over television, over radio, in the services, just miracle after miracle. Going back to Colombia here before too much longer, another month, and the same thing happens there. Miracles everywhere. So to say we've seen 1,000 or more, thousands of healings, is not exaggeration at all. Amen? But they all kind of run in a blur after a while. I was talking to praying for a man, and he said, I can't raise my arm above this. And I said, how far do you want to raise it? And he said, all the way up. I said, all right. And I commanded it to be loosed and to be healed. And I said, now raise it all up. And he said, okay. And he did. But it was an act. He acted like he believed it. He acted like it was healed. There was an act of faith. When you're walking it out step by step, you still have to act like it. Pastor Philip talks about when he had dysentery. The Bible is called the bloody flux. When he was in the Marshall Islands, the last thing in the world he wanted to do was eat. Because he knew every time he ate, it was going to come out. And when it came out, it was going to come out bloody and painful. He got so weak he could hardly move. Walking it out, believing God. Alberta would say, it's time to eat. He didn't want to eat, but a healed man would eat. To make the long story short, I think it lasted about a month or 6 weeks, something on that order. Total manifestation, total healing in an instant of time. You act like it. You act on your faith. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And that's how you receive your healing. It's great to receive it. Great to receive it. Pastor Jack.
Hallelujah. I could listen to those testimonies all night. Amen. You know, he's talking about acting on your faith. Faith is willing to put it all on the line. It's willing to act like the Word of God is true. And it is. Amen. When he's talking about that if you're trying to claim your healing, but all you do is discuss the symptoms and how bad you are, it's like having bitter water mixed with sweet. I liken it to a little more, hard-hitting example. To me, it's like having an end of the public swimming pool where urinating is allowed. I don't want to swim in any of it. Amen. It all mixes together before it's done. Well, this has been a blessing so far, hasn't it? Up till then, amen. You'll never swim again. They have the chemicals nowadays, right? Amen. Let's take just a few minutes break and we'll get back and finish up this session tonight. Be blessed.